Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
You know, I often think about it like looking, trying to watch you, observe yourself like an anthropologist observing a monkey, right?
And it's like, oh, yeah, look. I like that.
My wife and I, you know, we do like a monthly review and we're like, oh, look at that. Those monkeys, you know, spent $300 at Chick-fil-A this month.
Welcome back to Everyone's Talking Money. I am your host, Shauna Game. And on this show, yeah, we like to roll up our sleeves. We do the inner work and the outer work that it takes to move you closer to your goals without having you break out into sweat. If you're new here, it is so great to have you. And if you're one of our top supporters, it is so good to have you back. You know, we all are like emotional monkeys that live in the moment when it comes to our money. I mean, have you ever found yourself in the habit of shopping on, let's say, Amazon late at night, only to realize you don't actually need what you just bought? Yeah, I hope I'm not alone in this. The good news, according to Val Agostino, the CEO and co-founder of Monarch Money, the modern personal finance management platform, and my personal favorite, personal finance management platform, says this is all part of being human. The trick to breaking these money patterns is to become aware of the fact that you are repeating patterns from some emotional spot. So awareness of these money patterns, that is the first step in changing your behaviors. The secret that we discuss in this episode is to get emotionally attached to your goals. This is where the magic lives. So get this. If you can emotionally live in the things you really want, the chances of you achieving that money goal are very possible. And Val is going to show you how to do this. Okay, are you ready to start making some small, consistent money behaviors that lead to financial health? I hope so. But before we get into the episode, I just want to thank all of my top supporters of the show who have left reviews and shared episodes of Everyone's Talking Money with your friends. It means a lot to me, and it is the reason that I can continue to do this show. And also, just another quick reminder, you get an extended 30-day free trial of Monarch when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. I'll have more of that when I wrap up the episode at the end, or you can head to our show notes. All right, let's start talking. You are the CEO and co-founder of one of my very favorite personal finance apps. If anybody's been listening to this show for a while, they know that I love Monarch. I talk about you guys often, and for good reason. There's a lot of things that I think Monarch just makes your life so much easier as a human out there trying to do money. But, you know, Val, I think most of us would agree, right, that budgeting is something that feels hard. It feels like a chore that you're having to do. And I think for a lot of people, it feels like, you know, a budget tells you what you can't do in life versus what you can do. But what I really want to talk to you about is, you know, how we can change this narrative and really redefine our behaviors and our beliefs around money and budgeting. So this is something that we proactively want to do, that we actually look forward to doing this. But just to kind of start us off, you know, I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on this? Like, where did this social narrative come from that budgeting, like, it should be painful?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. And I agree with your sentiment. You know, personally, I don't even like the word budgeting.
Me neither.
I think we tend to call it tracking at Monarch, and I think that's a better way to think about it. You know, budgeting sounds sort of like dieting. It's like it's, you know, limiting what you can do. It sounds kind of miserable, and you know, sort of like dieting, it's like, hey, I've got to like put myself through this pain in order to achieve some goal. And I think of money as more like energy that you kind of decide where you want to spread it. And you can, it's just sort of making decisions around what's important to you at the time. And so that tends to be how we think about budgeting or tracking is, hey, just get clear on what's important to you and try to align your spending and your goals with that thing. And then, and do it in a place of not judging yourself, you know, and once you kind of see where you're headed, then you can make, you know, then you can make informed decisions like, okay, is this really how I want to be spending, you know, my money? Just like, you know, you might look at your calendar and say, hey, is this how I, you know, want to be spending my time or so on and so forth. So I think part of it is a reframing of, you know, if you look at it through this lens of, can I align my money with what I want to do in my life, with the things I want to either invest in or achieve or contribute to, whether it's charity, then it starts to feel like a more empowered stance instead of, oh my gosh, you know, I blew my budget again. I'm a bad person. So yeah, we appreciate you, you know, trying to shift the narrative here. We're trying to do the same thing. Unfortunately, budgeting as a term seems to be here to stick. We keep telling everyone we are not a budgeting app. You know, right. we're a financial management platform or whatever. And, you know, 9 out of 10 times we get lumped back into budgeting apps. So I think we're kind of stuck with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's funny. Years ago, I taught at a university in Los Angeles, and most of the students were first generation students. And so the cool thing is they would learn about money and then they would go home and teach their you know, their whole family about money. And one of the things that I used to tell them was how much I hated this word budgeting. And, you know, mm-hmm. they of course would all agree. And I said, you know, the cool part is like, you actually have freedom to change the word into something that right. works for you. And they all looked at me like, what? Like, we can do that, you know? And
yes, yeah.
I used to call mine like a travel itinerary for the longest time, because my husband and I love to travel. And so it was like the mechanism to help us be able to travel more. You know, it's funny to like watch the light bulbs go off in people's heads when they realize like they don't have to follow these social narratives right. around, you know, these words that feel so kind of heavy and loaded for all of us.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, you know, how do we get out of this judgment-based thinking? Like you mentioned the word shame, and I think this is something that gets so easily attached to money. But it's crazy when we're talking about like creating a spending plan or whatever word we want to use there, budgeting, whatever it might be. We're the only ones that actually see that, right? It's not something that we're, you know, standing on a podium and kind of sharing with the world, but yet we feel very judged for how we spend our money. Like, how do we get out of that loop?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think there's most of our behaviors are driven by underlying beliefs, right? So part of it is trying to get clear on what are your beliefs around money. I mean, often that's driven by what kind of situation you grew up as a kid. And so if you can really question those things and start to acknowledge it, I think you start to see where some of these patterns go to. And working with like a financial coach or different CFPs have training in this as well, to understand, okay, these are some of the reasons why I feel a particular way about money. And then you can see how that influences your behavior. So I think that's one piece of it. Another is just kind of taking a step back and, you know, I often think about it like observe yourself like an anthropologist observing a monkey, right? And it's like, oh,
yeah,
look,
I like that.
My wife and I, you know, we do like a monthly review and we're like, oh, look at that. Those monkeys, you know, spent $300 at Chick-fil-A this month. I wonder why they did that, you know? And then you start to ask these questions and it kind of removes the judgment piece from it. Then you can decide, okay, is that aligned with our values, with what we want to be doing? And you know, was it worth it? And sometimes the answer is, you know, hell yeah, it was worth
it. Yeah,
like, right. That was great. That was an awesome trip. Or, you know, we love that we went to that concert or whatever it may be, even if it, you know, technically like blew the budget. And I think that's the important thing, is to recognize that, you know, at the end of the day, you're here to live your life. And it's not, you know, it's not to like be a robot and hit every number necessarily. So, you know, that's kind of how we look at it, is how do you view it through the lens of, okay, is this aligned with our values? And, you know, let's face it, stuff happens. You know, your water heater blows up or your car breaks down or whatever. And that's just part of life. And I think an effective, let's call it plan, that's how we tend to think of it, you know, an effective plan builds some buffer into your finances so that you're not stressed. And I think for a lot of people, if you can think of this as like having a plan instead of having a budget, so that I'm not worried about like unforeseen circumstances, and we know, you know, we have an emergency fund if someone loses a job or whatever, like it takes a lot of the stress out of what most households feel, you know, around money. And when people are stressed, they often kind of stick their head in the sand and it's like, oh, I don't want to look at this. I don't want to pay any attention to it. And of course that just kind of makes it worse to some degree. So yeah, I believe if we can give people visibility into like, A, where they stand financially, what's happening through these tracking tools, you know, like Monarch or others, and then help them understand, okay, this is like the plan that you're trying to create, and this is why you should have an emergency fund. We see the light bulb kind of goes off for people, and then they're like, okay, now I get it. And all of a sudden, you know, A, I'm not so stressed about the unforeseen. B, like my partner and I aren't fighting about money all the time because we're aligned on what our goals are and that kind of thing. So it's very powerful. But it does kind of require a shift in thinking sometimes.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on that. I love this idea of thinking about it from like a anthropologist's perspective. Mm-hmm. I think that can be really helpful. You know, myself, I'm a non-practicing anymore certified financial planner and a trauma of money expert. And so one of the things that I really like, and I kind of want to just hammer this home a bit, is this intersection between your emotions with money and your yep. actions with money, how those things are very correlated. And it's hard to separate the two, which is crazy to me that most money experts don't spend more yep. time talking about this, because instead it's a focus on the how to do things. And it doesn't actually, there's not as much motivation for somebody to actually, you know, take those steps that they need to. And I know just, you know, the thoughts and the feelings have such a big importance on the actions that you take. Talk to us a little bit about this. Like, how do you see, you know, our thoughts and feelings about money kind of getting in there and mucking things up a little bit for us to be able to take, you know, the actions that we need to get to where we want to go with our money?
Boy, yeah, that's a great question. And it's great that you're, you know, digging into the emotional side of it. I agree that that needs a lot more attention, I think, in our industry. And if you look at, you know, behavioral economics or whatever, you know, Dan O'Reilly wrote a famous book called Predictably Irrational, yes. which is like, okay, we all think we're these rational beings that do what's in our best interest. But again, at the end of the day, we're more like emotional monkeys that kind of live in the moments.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. and that's, you know, that's not just money. That's everything. It's fitness. It's, you know,
relationships.
Like, yeah. I'm going to stay up all night watching Netflix, right. Yeah. Even though I know I have an important meeting in the morning. And so, you know, that's just kind of part of being a human to some degree. But I think the trick is to become aware of the fact that, okay, I am doing these things, you know, from some kind of emotional spot. It's like, okay, why do I keep buying all this stuff I know I don't need? You know, well, there's some like emotional need that you're feeling perhaps, and it's, you know, trying to figure out what that thing is, or even just acknowledging, okay, I'm doing that pattern again. You know, of shopping on Amazon late at night when, you know, I should be sleeping or what have you. And, you know, that's kind of the first step of just acknowledging it. And then you can decide again, okay, is this aligned with my goals? And I think once you start to see those patterns, that's kind of the first step in making those changes. And again, I'd encourage folks to just kind of be kind with yourself and recognize, okay, you know, nobody's perfect, and that's just part of being a human. And if you can get emotionally attached to the other things, and that's, you know, to your goals, right? Okay. I think that's where you start to, then it's just a trade-off. You could say, okay, I want to buy this new thing on Amazon, but I also want to take the trip to, you know, the beach this spring or whatever. And if you can emotionally live in that beach trip in the future, then you can decide like, okay, what am I put more value in? And we see that a lot, is that it helps people. And that's honestly something we're overhauling our goal system in Monarch right now. And we're thinking a lot about how do we make your goals feel a more emotionally resonant, yes. so that you can, you know, hopefully stay incentivized and again, emotionally engaged in those, and stay on track more.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. Okay, listen, like many of you out there, I love Notion, our sponsor today. And I honestly use it every day for my notes and journaling. I also track our family expenses, and I manage all of our household to-dos. Notion has been such a lifesaver in helping me get a lot more organized because that's not one of my strengths, without stressing me out. Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organize, and rediscover the joy of play. It's a workspace designed not just for making progress, but getting inspired. Notion is the AI-powered workspace that can summarize things like meeting notes and automatically generate action items and help you get answers to questions in seconds. It will honestly blow your mind. Notion is for everyone, whether you're a Fortune 500 company, you're a freelancer, you're starting a startup, or you're a student juggling classes and clubs, or you're somebody like myself that just really wants to get organized. Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/ETM. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/ETM, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you are supporting our show, notion.com/ETM. All right, Val, it's time to play Your Relationship with Money is Game. So first question, if you had to describe your relationship to money as a cartoon character, who would it be?
I would say Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes. I think, yeah. And I just, I don't know, he's a little bit like always pushing the envelope on things and, you know, pushing the edges. And, you know, like I said, as an entrepreneur, like I've certainly done that most of my life. And I'd go with Calvin.
Tell me, what is one guilty money splurge that you are never giving up?
Well, we, my family and I live in Colorado. I'd love to snowboard. So we go up quite a bit. So that's a big, it's not cheap, but it's something that we all love to do and big reason we moved here. So yeah, that's something we're not giving up.
All right. Take us into your inner money thoughts? Is there a central money theme or thought that just kind of always plays on repeat for you?
Thought for me is like, you know, this idea of alignment, you know, like, are we aligned with our goals and our values? And that's like, yeah, that's kind of the consistent theme. And like we said in the call, how do you do that without judgment, you know, on yourself?
What's one thing you think we all get wrong when it comes to money?
I hate to sound like a broken record, but I do think it's this judgment piece, you know, it's realizing like, hey, it's just kind of, money's not good or bad, you know, like what you do with it is not good or bad. It's just, you know, a set of decisions. And at the end of the day, you have control over those decisions and you can decide, you know, what course your money goes in and ultimately what course your life goes in, you know, a similar vein.
All right. Last question. If money showed up at your door and was a human, what would you want it to say to you?
The immediate thought I had is, I'm here and I'm not going away.
I like that one. Yeah. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, EarnIt provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. EarnIt is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the EarnIt app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use EarnIt in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is, I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make EarnIn a part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, it's you know, for me personally, I'm a very visual person. And I think this is where this part of your emotions and your goals and your money, like really knowing yourself and knowing what motivates you. So for me, like continually looking at pictures or visuals of the things I really want, like over and over and over and, you know, daily basis really helps kind of root into those things. And I think, you know, that's what's just been so missing from the money piece. You know, even financial planners who create these, you know, amazing financial plans for people. I was one of them in my past, but there isn't, it's numbers and words on a piece of paper, you know, and there isn't that real heart tug for somebody to do something. And You know, another myth that I want to just talk about for a minute and hopefully kind of blow this one out of the water. You say that your behavior can actually have a greater impact on your financial health than your income level. And I think for so many people that are maybe struggling financially or living paycheck to paycheck, that feels hard to believe.
Yeah.
Because the belief is, well, if I just make more money, like all of this will be so much easier. Tell us a little bit about this, like this correlation there.
Yeah. So it's a very common belief, you know, when I have X, then everything will be better. And, you know, sounds true, which is, I guess, why we all believe it. But the research, you know, shows that it's pretty inaccurate, right? There's this thing called the hedonic treadmill, which psychologists refer to, which is like, every time your income level goes up, you sort of just increase your lifestyle, you know, a little bit to match it, or often a little bit more than, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to go buy that, you know, slightly nicer car, or, you know, I'm going to eat out more frequently.
I deserve it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a very natural human thing to do. And then you also see this in lottery winners. You know, I don't know the exact, you know, stat, but it's something insane. Like 90% of lottery winners, like, you know, are broke within 5 years or spend all the money within, you know, some period after winning the lottery because they don't have these behaviors. They think, oh, I'm set. Conversely, there's lots of examples of, you know, folks that you would not consider traditionally affluent, you know, teachers or you know, what have you, that establish healthy behaviors early on. And then, you know, these things just compound over many years. And so now, to be clear, like getting more income, the ideal world would be you get more income and you have the healthy behaviors,
right?
And that's, so I'm not saying that like more income is bad, you know, or whatever, or it doesn't help. It certainly helps. I'm just saying that most humans, you know, adjust pretty quickly, even though everyone thinks they won't. There's a lot of corollaries between physical health and physical fitness and, you know, financial health.
Really?
And, you know, so we think about that a lot, right? An example here might be, a lot of us have probably done this, right? January comes along. It's like, okay, I'm gonna like change everything. I'm going to join the gym. I'm going to get, you know, super fit, whatever. And then, you know, by February 1st, that's all out the window.
Yeah. You're eating a bag of Doritos on the couch and like, I'm not going to go for that walk. Yeah.
Whereas if you can establish like small behaviors that compound over time, like just, okay, I'm going to walk every day, you know, for 10 minutes or something like that. And then, you know, maybe that's 15 minutes and 20 minutes and so on and so forth. You know, research shows if you do that over a period of years, like you're in much better fitness level than people that, you know, run a marathon every 3 years or whatever, because the compounding effect and the consistency there, just compounds and grows over time across all different areas. And it's the same, obviously, we know this about investing, right? Doing like small investments over time compounds and grows. But it's the same with other aspects of your finances, you know, saying, okay, I'm just going to start with putting $10 a month, you know, towards my, you know, whatever house down payment goal. And then the next, maybe I'm going to increase that, you know, to $30 by the end of the year or whatever. And it sounds like a small amount, but if you do that over a few years, you know, pretty soon, you know, if you do the math, you've got tens of thousands of dollars, you know, stacked away. And so those are the kinds of things that where the compounding and the consistency is super important, instead of having some kind of, you know, miraculous event like a windfall or even a lottery, you know, win. But it's it's this idea that doing the small things like day in and day out, you know, really, really compound and lead to major outcomes.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking on that, I want to talk a little bit about goals. I don't know if you've ever had this problem, but I think most of the women probably listening to this can relate. If you've ever worn a necklace, right, and you've taken it off somewhere and you haven't, you know, put the clasp back together, the necklace just always gets knotted up. And then you spend, you know, countless minutes, hours, like trying to untangle this thing. And for me, it usually involves a little bit of cursing and, you know, a whole thing to get this untangled. But yes. I see money goals a lot like a knotted necklace, where we have so many of them and we start down this path, kind of like what you were just talking about, you know, the new year, and then we get frustrated and we give up or we get lost and we, you know, metaphorically get tangled up in our goals. Yep. So how can we create a money system that helps us work, you know, towards these goals slowly and slowly, kind of step by step, without getting overwhelmed in, you know, all the things we want to do and maybe the lack of progress that we're actually making towards those things?
Yep. Yeah, it's a good question. I like that analogy as the guy that's always untangling my daughter's necklace.
You can relate.
Appreciate it. Yes. Or sometimes just buying her a new chain because
I threw one away. It's way easier. Yeah.
I didn't tell her. How do we celebrate the consistency? I think we're thinking a lot about this at Monarch, right? And ideally, if you can see money as a game, it starts to feel, you know, a bit more fun, right? And so I mentioned we're working on a new version of goals, and this is something that we're thinking a lot about, is how do we celebrate that consistency and say, okay, it's not about how far I am from my, you know, house down payment or retirement or emergency fund or whatever, but it's celebrating, you know, the consistency of, okay, I've made, you know, some small contribution every week or every month, you know. And also so that's part of it, is like, how can we make it feel fun and celebrate the journey instead of the destination?
Right.
So that's one piece of it. The other piece is taking the friction out of doing a lot of this stuff, right? So the more that you can put your money on autopilot to some degree of saying, okay, I'm gonna route whatever $50 from every paycheck into this other, you know, savings account or something like that, so that you don't even see it, and it just goes into that thing, then it just kind of, you know, happens over time.
Yeah,
and you calibrate to the new income level and you don't really miss it. Whereas if you see that in your checking account and then you have to like decide, oh, I'm gonna like move that $50 over there or go spend it on Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, you have this again, you know, the monkey gets in the way.
Yeah. It's hard to push that button.
Messes you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Well, I'm curious, like, do you have any research behind goals, like specifically, like why goals are this thing that always, you know, eludes us? Is it that we set too big of goals and then, you know, it's just difficult to keep motivated towards those goals? Are we just not great at setting goals and really attaching that emotional piece to them?
Yeah, it's there's a lot that's been written about this. I think none that I can cite here, you know, with stats, but I think it boils down to, you know, it's to the challenge of like sort of focusing on your future self versus, you know, your current self, right? And there's a lot of, you know, people have said all of human suffering boils down to like, you know, living, optimizing like your short-term happiness over your long-term, you know, happiness. And, you know, that's again, not to say that we should all be misers and you know, not doing anything in the moment. But I do think there's an aspect of just having a plan and being intentional and I think that's a big part of it, is saying, okay, first I'm going to be intentional. I want to get clear about what I want and why. And I think, as we said, the why is often more important perhaps than the what. And then have some plan of like, okay, now I'm going to, you know, move in this direction and celebrate, you know, the small steps towards getting there. You know, what we see with financial goals in particular, like often why it's so challenging is, it sounds kind of surprising, but oftentimes people just don't know what they want, you know, should want, where they're like, okay, I know I want more money. And it's like, well, why? And they, you know, it's often a hard question to answer. It's like, well, and if you get to the root of it, it's like, well, I maybe want security. I want safety. I want, you know, my kids to have more opportunities maybe than I had growing up. Like, and as you start to think through this stuff, it starts to become a lot more clear, like what your why is. And then it gets much more motivating for people. And I think, you know, as a CFP, I think great planners will do, you know, they'll get to that underlying emotional stuff. Right. It's not just, oh, I want a bigger house. It's like, okay, what does a bigger house mean to you? You know, what will that provide? And sometimes people say, actually, a bigger house would be a pain in the ass. I don't, you know, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Thanks for helping. You know, I want to go live in Hawaii 2 months a year or whatever. Then it's like, okay, great. You know, and I often encourage people to think through, like, where does your like emotional resonance jump? You know, like, what do you get excited about? And if you have that energy behind something, it's just a lot more, you know, it's a lot more motivating, especially if you can stay attached to that.
I know you co-founded Monarch, I believe, in 2018, and you worked for a while at Mint, which is very fascinating. We all know Mint has gone bye-bye for the most part.
Yes.
For the most part, yes. Yes.
Right.
And left a lot of people kind of high and dry. But tell me a little bit about how did you get into, you know, this career of helping people with budgeting and their spending plans. And I'm curious what, you know, kind of excites you about this.
Yeah, well, it's, I've been kind of a lifelong entrepreneur. And as an entrepreneur, you go through major periods where there's no income, you know, you're not taking a salary. And it's, you know, quite the like financial roller coaster. I have three kids, and we were living in the Bay Area, which is, you know, not cheap. And so as a family of five, living in the Bay Area with no income, for long periods.
Doesn't work very well. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was like, we got down to bare metal, you know, a lot, many times, which is pretty stressful. So I was like super rigorous about tracking everything. And I was like many people, I was using a spreadsheet, and, you know, I had tried Quicken and stuff like that in the past, but I found a spreadsheet was better for me. And then when Mint came along, I saw an early version of it before it had launched, and I reached out to them and said, hey, I've been doing this myself for many years. I'd love to, you know, chat with you guys. And they hired me as their first product manager. And so what we saw with Mint was people loved having all their financial information in one place. But then the immediate question was kind of, okay, now what?
What
comes next? What do I do? You know, how it's great to see what happened in the past, which is kind of, you know, tracking or budgeting, but I need help knowing what to do next and so on and so forth. And, you know, as you know, that's kind of the planning use case. But historically, most planners didn't want clients that didn't generate a certain, you know, often $5,000 or more per year in fees, which kind of priced out about 80% of the U.S. population.
Seriously, yes.
And so we always felt, okay, this is the obvious next step to go beyond budgeting and help people do planning and think about the future, not just what happened in the past. So that's why we launched Monarch. You know, I'd say we're just, even though we're 5 years into this, feels like we're just getting started. You know, we now have like the tracking stuff pretty well built out, but we have a lot more work to do on planning. And that was kind of our focus. And then of course, Mint announced they were shutting down, and, you know, we've been very lucky to get a lot of that Mint overflow, but we've also been scrambling to, you know, keep those folks happy and add some of the features, that people liked in Mint that, you know, Monarch didn't have yet. So.
Interesting. I want to know too, what do you think the future with AI kind of coming on the forefront and AI being like a central piece of a lot of different just apps in general? How is that going to change, you know, money-based apps?
Yeah, it's a good question. We've experimented with AI. We have like AI integrated into Monarch today in a beta capacity. What we found is it's not the current AI models, shockingly, are not very good at math. They're great, you know, if you wanted to write a poem about your money, like, it's awesome, but if you wanted to like actually do math, it's not so good. The newer models that are coming out are much better around that, so we expect like a big leap forward. The whole space is advancing extremely rapidly, so it's obvious that AI is going to play some critical role, I think, in helping people surface opportunities and whatnot. I think everybody acknowledges that. you know, to be totally candid, we initially thought software and AI would replace a lot of the humans, you know, in this space. And we're now kind of backtracking on that. And what we've realized, as we've been talking about, a lot of your money stuff is emotional in nature, you know.
1,000%.
And,
yep.
And so what we find is, like, actually having humans in the loop is way more effective, just because you have someone else that can kind of, whatever, call you on your, you know, your monkey patterns, or they can ask you the hard questions, or they can, you know, help you see things through a different lens. And so I believe the future here, and this is what we're trying to build with Monarch, is, you know, you have better tools and data. So you kind of know, everyone knows where you stand. And then, you know, we want the platform is kind of collaborative. And so you can collaborate with your partner and get aligned on your goals. And then B, you have access to humans if and when you need them. You know, that might be, oh, I have a tax question. You know, can you answer or help me, you know, understand this particular tax situation or whatever, or an investment question. And then you could bring in, you know, the right human professional for those kinds of things as needed. And then AI will ultimately serve just to make everyone, you know, more efficient. And so, you know, today, like a CFP can only handle so many clients,
for sure,
just because there's so much, you know, overhead and whatnot. But if you have all the data in one place and you have AI like surfacing a bunch of the suggestions, and then, you know, the human can decide, okay, I'm going to reach out to this client and, you know, advise him or her to do this thing. I don't know. That's our belief. That's kind of the best outcome. And again, the analogy we use is it's kind of like going to the gym. Yes, you can use software and do it yourself if you're super motivated. But if you have a trainer there, you know, he or she is going to keep you more motivated and hold you accountable. And just knowing that, like, oh, I'm going to show up because my trainer's showing up, you know, helps you to be consistent. So that's kind of how we're thinking about the role of these three things of, you know, humans, AI, and some of the underlying tools we're building.
Well, here on Everyone's Talking Money, I love leaving everyone listening with a takeaway or two about what you think we should be talking about when it comes to our behaviors and creating spending plans. Like, if we don't remember anything else from this conversation, what are a couple things you want us to really just sort of cement home?
Yeah, I would. We've touched a lot on the emotional piece of money. And I think as an industry, and we need to acknowledge, like, okay, that's like the iceberg below the surface. and to really think about, okay, get clear on what you're doing. And you can use a tool like Monarch or spreadsheets or other tools to get that. And then again, approach it without judgment, you know, instead of beating yourself up of like, oh my God, you know, why do I keep going to Starbucks or whatever? It's just think of it again through this anthropologist lens of like, oh, that's interesting. Like, what, you know, what do I feel when I go to Starbucks? You know, what need is that serving in my life? And, you know, the answer may be like, that's totally worth it. And it's something I enjoy. And now I'm going to be intentional about going to Starbucks every morning. And then you don't feel guilty about it, you know? And it's like, and I think that's the big shift, is how do you change from being like reactive with money to being like intentional with your money? And it puts you in the seat of control, and you're kind of the driver now, instead of, you know, feeling like, oh, I'm the victim or the passenger in this like scary, you know, car that is my finances, if you will.
Ooh, I've really been thinking about this idea of emotionally attaching to your goals. As I mentioned in the conversation with Val, I like to print out pictures of my goals because I'm just somebody who needs a constant reminder of what I really want in life versus what I think I want in that particular moment. So adapt this however works for you, but figure out how to connect to your goals. Just try it for the rest of the month. And if that feels too big to you, just try it for the rest of the week. See if, like Val says, you can change your money behaviors in the process of just becoming more emotionally attached to your goals. If you want to learn more about Monarch, listeners of the show again will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. I will have all the links in the show notes, as well as the episode sponsors who make this show possible. So head on over to the show notes, give them some love. As always, if you haven't done so already, I would be so honored if, just like my top supporters of the show, if you'd head over to Apple Podcasts, leave a review of the show. I will have the link right in the show notes to make it really easy for you. Let me know, what did you think of this episode? How does this idea of emotionally connecting to your goals, how does this work for you? Let me know. All right, I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.
Everyone has that one goal, that thing they want to prove, not to other people, but to themselves. Then right when you think you could actually do it, cancer. And that goal is still within reach. I would know. I'm about to run my first ever marathon with my two best friends, 3 years after having cancer.
At least we look good in these shorts.
Woo! Let's get it, guys. You, keep making plans.
Visit OhioHealth.com/keepmakingplans to learn more.